My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, when you don't got to work on Monday, Tuesday doesn't feel that bad. Because all of a sudden, tomorrow's Wednesday. And it's one day closer to football. Season opens Thursday night here on the Team 980. And then, of course, Friday, you got the game in Brazil. We'll talk to Noah Eagle later in the week about that. He's calling it for Peacock. And then Sunday, you got Commanders and Bucks at 4:25. And every single Tuesday, 5 o'clock during the season, it's a Tischler Tuesday here on The Hoffman Show.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not my beat.
That's right. We're doing it this year. Tischler Tuesday. It's Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast, of course, with JP Finley with us. Mitch, how was your long weekend, my friend?
It was great. Loved the weather. I got to play a little bit of golf, hang out with some friends, barbecue. It was perfect.
That is, I mean, good gracious. You draw one up on the Americana play sheet. Call that one every Labor Day weekend. That is A-plus work, especially if you hit them well.
We had a lot of fun. How about that?
that's honestly, when I play golf, Mitch, that's all I'm really going for. But you actually play on a regular basis and have the capability of being good. I don't. But that's a conversation perhaps for a different day. Mitch, The top storyline today in command land is the unofficial depth chart, which is always a bit silly because that keyword unofficial, but they have kept Brandon Coleman at the top at left tackle. Do we think that the rookie is going to start, and what chance do we give him of being successful considering the lack of reps he's gotten due to the injury he sustained during training camp?
Yeah, I think his success level is the same place that it's been pre-injury. As long as he's back 100%. I don't know that, a couple snaps in the preseason would have really made a massive difference in terms of, how well he's going to play. I think for us as fans and media that are covering the team, I think that it leaves some questions because we haven't seen him play against anybody except for the Commanders, own defense. But the coaches have said for a while that they were excited about Brandon Coleman, and he was taking those first team reps kind of before he got hurt. So they're particularly high on him. I think we're going to see him start week one, and I think he's going to be kind of your guy there.
I'm not saying that I have no questions about Brandon Coleman at all. And in fact, I probably have more questions about Coleman than I do, say, Cornelius Lucas. But part of that is because I know who Cornelius Lucas is, and some of the things I know about Cornelius Lucas make me excited that Brandon Coleman is playing. Where do you kind of come down on your, I'll call it your nervousness level of starting a rookie left tackle to protect a rookie quarterback's blind side in week one of a season?
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you draw it up, that's not probably what, the entire coaching staff had planned for week one for Jaden Daniels for the number two overall pick when they got it. But at the same time, they've showed confidence in him from the beginning, and they've been excited about him. And I think that, you have a veteran play caller in Cliff Kingsbury who, you hope is going to take the veteran route and, call an offense, call a situation that works well for this offensive line group, which, when you break down individual talent is what it is. But I think as a whole, combined with Cliff calling plays, they can get the ball out quickly. They can do some things in the quick pass game. And that's where I think Brandon Coleman's, big level up is over Cornelius Lucas, and that's his ability to get downfield and make the extra block. And that's something that this coaching staff asks of this O-line pretty consistently. So I think you're going to see a couple plays today or on Sunday where Terry's going to get a ball quick out to the left, and you're going to see big old 74 lumbering down the field, leading the way, blocking for him. And, you know, Brandon Coleman's athleticism gives him the opportunity to be super successful in that world.
Mitch Hischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast, with us on the Hoffman Show. I think you're dead on with that, Mitch. And that's exactly the example I was going to bring up is, you know, Cliff kind of comes, it's a different approach, but similar to how Sean and Kyle and like all these young offensive coordinators think about the game, because a lot of them were influenced, even if it was indirectly, by some of the same people that influenced Cliff, the Mike Leaches of the world, etc., whose whole like modus operandi is we must try to have every blade of grass available to us to be threatened, I guess would be the best way to put it, every single snap. Because if the more ground that we make defenses cover, and some people do that by attacking more horizontally and then occasionally sprinkling in the vertical, the air raid traditionally has been more like we're going to hit you vertically, and that might create some room for us to do some really innovative and damaging stuff horizontally. It seems like Cliff in training camp at the very least was like, we're going to attack sideline to sideline. And to me, it felt like as long as Lucas was out there, you got like not necessarily hash mark. Let's call it numbers to sideline versus sideline to sideline. And that little bit, I think, will go ultimately a long way.
Yeah, and I think as you talk about kind of threatening every blade of grass, I think Cliff likes to bring that threat from a lot of different places. And so while typically you don't have running backs running, you know, go routes or wheel routes particularly often, I think you're going to see a little bit more of that in this offense. I think, you know, at tight end, you're going to see a little more verticality from Zach Ertz in the middle of the field. And I think the fact that, you know, he kind of, the way that they look at this thing is to try and be creative in the way that they attack, getting extra blockers in front of their, you know, in front of their running backs, in front of their wide receivers, isn't only in the screen game, isn't only in the quick pass game. There's an expectation that if the ball is going out to the left, that your left tackle is going to, you know, get off that block once the ball's clean and kind of work his way downfield and make those blocks. And so I think when you look kind of at the O-line in general, you have Brandon Coleman, Nick Allegretti, Tyler Biadasz, Sam Cosmi. Four of these five guys are high up on that athleticism scale and the ability to kind of help out in different ways. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch kind of how Cliff engineers this offense, because they can be, you know, they can put teams in a bad situation in multiple different facets.
So next week, Mitch, we will be able to actually look back at a game and talk about, at the very least, a single game, which will be fun. In the meantime, we get to do things like this. Are you ready to play a game?
I am ready to play a game.
Yes. All right. So very easy game. Confidence levels 1 to 10, because there are a ton of what ifs on this defense. What if this guy can make this position switch, or can this guy turn it around? So confidence level that it will happen. Let's just pick three. Let's start off with the one that I think more people, I'm going to say, are taking for granted. What do we make confidence level 1 to 10, 1 being least confident, 10 being most confident, of Frankie Louvu's ability to be a premier pass rusher on third downs as an edge? Not as a blitzer, as a true edge.
I mean, if you're breaking it down to specifically Louvu on third down as a rusher, I give it maybe a 5 in terms of my confidence, because I think in those obvious pass downs, I think that's where you might see offensive lines are ready for him. I think what's going to be interesting with Louvu is when they bring him on first and second down, and he's kind of a surprise. He's kind of a surprise rusher for these offenses to deal with. I think Louvu might be the best pure pass rusher on this roster. Maybe Dorrance Armstrong from the edge position, at least, or from the outside. But I do think that, you know, his ability to do a bunch of different things is kind of where his edge lays. And particularly when he comes early on in downs, I think that he's going to surprise some teams.
I don't disagree with you, but it's, to me, like watching camp and the way they rotated things and everything they've said, I think when it's third down, an obvious passing situation, Dante Fowler's on one side and Louvu's on the other. And obviously Jamin and John Baptiste will probably rotate in some with that. But like, I'm pretty sure that's their plan. And in 2 minute, it definitely is their plan. Like, we saw that a ton in camp. Like, he's going to line up at edge. And I am curious if that is actually his best use, or is his best use moving him around a little bit more, like you were saying?
I'll tell you my hot take. I think Dante Fowler on the outside is going to be super fun to watch. And maybe I don't think he's going to get enough reps necessarily to lead the team in sacks, but I think his, you know, sack per rep ratio will be amongst the highest on this team. His ability to use his speed around the outside and then also work kind of counters to get back underneath offensive tackles is pretty elite, at least as far as I've seen in camp. And one thing that I really liked that I saw was early on in camp, you know, Dante Fowler knows his speed is what it is and is able to get to the edge against some guys, but I love seeing him work those counters and working, getting back underneath and kind of causing an offensive tackle to get on skates here. When they get to those obvious passing downs and he's able to, you know, find himself kind of matched up one-on-one with some tackles, he's going to give guys a problem. And I'm not saying it's going to happen every down, but I do think that he can be an elite pass rusher in spots for this team.
Yeah, no, I agree. Vet got the know-how. We'll see how much juice he's got left. Going to be fun to watch. All right, second hypothetical, or not hypothetical, second confidence rating here for Mitch Tischler on a Tischler Tuesday on the Hoffman Show. And I'm going to go in order here. That's one that I think people are kind of taking for granted. Here's another one that I think people are kind of taking for granted, maybe a little less so, and then we'll get to the obvious what if on defense for the last of our three. What do we have in terms of confidence, 1 to 10, on Quan Martin's ability to be an every-down starting safety in the NFL in year two?
Yeah, my confidence is really high with Quan. I would say an 8.5. I think that particular to Quan, he was asked to learn too much last year and play in too many different positions on this defense. And I think the fact that they've simplified it and kind of narrowed down the expectations for him has helped him take a big step. And I think he's going to be a guy that you can rely on. And, you know, with Jeremy Chinn on the other side, a guy who's a little bit more of a veteran, who's kind of been there, done that. Chinn is more of your kind of box safety guy, and Quan will be more of your free safety guy over the top. But I'm excited to see what Quan can do. And I think that he will specifically for himself take a big step between the play level that we saw last year to this year.
No, I agree with that. I think it's interesting because he was much more of a nickel last year, and then they played him at safety some, but he hadn't really been doing it a whole lot. So I'm pretty fascinated. And then, you know, you do have the versatility to still have him play some big nickel, play some in the box in three safety looks with Chinn and Percy Butler, who I presume, even though they put him down on the depth chart, but I presume that Percy Butler is actually the third safety, considering he was the third safety the entirety of camp. But that defensive backfield, Mitch, leads us to the final confidence ranking, which is the ability for Emmanuel Forbes and or Benjamin St. Juice to turn into legitimate, good, above average starting caliber corners in the NFL. And for Forbes specifically, hopefully a really good one, because he was a first round pick a year ago. What is your confidence level that the change in coaching, what they're being asked to do, et cetera, can turn those guys into legit starting NFL corners?
Yeah, I don't have a ton of confidence there. I'll put it at a 4, that one of the two will become a good NFL corner. I just think it's tough. I think this defense, they're going to ask a lot of these guys, and I don't know that they're necessarily up to the challenge. We're going to see them stuck a lot of times in one-on-one press coverage at the line, and they're going to be asked to win those, and we haven't seen a lot of it. And I think on top of it, you know, the pass rush, I think is going to – the top end of the pass rush, I think, is going to take a step back from what we've seen in past years. And this is a defense that's going to rely on getting to the quarterback and putting pressure, so the quarterback has to get rid of the ball quickly. And these corners are, you know, ostensibly you're hoping that they're not going to have to cover for, you know, 8-10 seconds in the secondary, but I think they might. And inevitably somebody's going to break open there. I'm concerned about the back end of this pass defense, but mostly on the outside, not necessarily up the middle.
Yeah, the funny thing is, Mitch, like, I totally agree with their approach in let's find out if these guys are good, because we have no idea what they were because they were so poorly utilized last year. And if they actually are bad at football, that's a year two project, while also not having a super high confidence level that it's actually going to go well. Like, I'm actually fine with the process, even if I'm scared / nervous, whatever, you know, wherever you want to be on that scale about the result.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll say for both of them is you look at what the corners were doing in Dallas the past couple seasons. they put up kind of gaudy interception numbers, but they gave up big time passing yards too. And that's, you know, it seems to be something that, you know, Dan Quinn, Joey Jr. are kind of okay with, as long as you're able to make the big, you know, splash turnover plays. They're okay with, you know, giving up a couple big plays here and there. So I think it will be an adjustment for ourselves and for everyone watching this team as to what counts as successful for this cornerback group. But, man, you really hope that Emmanuel Forbes is able to get his hands on some balls early, get some confidence, you know, start working his way back to being kind of the corner that most of the NFL thought he was going to be coming out last year.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, last thing with Mitch Sichler here, of course, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast. What is your favorite Commander season bet that you guys gave out on the show, presuming that you did, because I know your show?
We actually haven't done season-long predictions, but I will say early on in the year, I offered a wager, and it was a weighted wager, that Luke McCaffrey would have more receiving yards than Jahan Dotson, and the fact that Jahan's not on the Commanders anymore kind of makes me think that I have a default win there, but we'll get to that. My favorite bet is Jaden Daniels over passing yards. I think he's going to throw for 3,000 yards this year. I think he's going to be, you know, the best rookie quarterback that we've seen since RG3, but, you know, he's not going to do it with the same kind of flair and pizzazz and everything that that obviously RG did. But I do think kind of long-term that that's for the best. And so I'm pretty pro most over Jaden bets.
So for the Jahan bet, like, was that one you made with JP? And is he going to try to enforce it as Jahan with the Eagles versus Luke here? Or do you default win the second Luke McCaffrey has won receiving yard this year, because it has to be Washington receiving yards?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to hold his feet to the fire on this one, because we make a billion bets, and, you know, we end up, if we end up pushing a couple, so be it. To me, it's a push that happened, and I think JP kind of agrees with it. But big picture, I think it points to the fact that I was right about Luke having a bigger impact than Jahan this year for this team.
That, I think, is very well put, Mitch Tischler. Very well put. Tischler Tuesdays, 5 o'clock for Not My Beat each and every week. Mitch, I'm excited to do this again next week, because we'll have a football game to talk about. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Absolutely. Can't wait to be breaking down some football with you.
Absolutely, dude. All right, that's Mitch Tischler, everybody. Check him out at the Beltway Football Podcast with JP Finley. They do that a couple times a week. Just subscribe, and then bang, bang, it'll be in your podcast feed. And actually, Anthony, I was going to save this point for Never Read the Comments on Thursday, because I had this conversation with a YouTube commenter in the comments, if you will. But what Mitch just said at the end there about, like, what the bet means is actually really poignant. Which, you know, is something that you say all the time about bet analysis. But someone was commenting on the conversation that we had on Friday's show with Nate Tice about Jaden Daniels. And, you know, obviously Nate was a big Drake May guy in the draft. And what I said was, like, you should go back and listen to when we talked to Nate at the Combine. Because I had a lot of questions about Drake May at that point, and still do, to be very clear. But I was like, why are you so high on him? What about this weakness? And Nate was like, oh, yeah, I see that. I just don't think it's going to matter as much. Now, if he goes to team X, Y, or Z, that might matter a lot more. And like, okay, well, I like this about Jaden. He's like, I love that about Jaden too. I just think that gets mitigated in the NFL in a lot of circumstances. But then we talked to him on Friday, and he's like, actually, that thing that I said might not matter as much for Jaden is perfect in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. And so, lo and behold, I love where Jaden Daniels is, and maybe I'm even higher on him than I initially thought I would be before he got drafted to an actual team. And so what happens is, especially in draft time, but also in the season, like, we get so caught up with analysts, and this happens to me, and I probably also at times do this, but I think this happens, frankly, if I'm being honest, Anthony, to me more than it does me doing this to other analysts. We get too caught up with the graphic on the screen, if you will, someone's actual rankings. And here is Nate giving all this analysis, all this like really good information and kind of the what ifs and how like this could play out this way. This is a trait. Here's how I think it translates, but this is the thing I know for sure, the trait. And we ignore all that stuff for, but you like that guy better, so you must think my guy sucks. And like the point with Mitch in the bet is to take it to a different context is like his point wasn't necessarily like, here's how you win some money on a bet. It's, I think Luke McCaffrey has a bigger impact than Jahan Dotson. And that's good analysis, no matter how you frame it on a graphic, most important Commanders receivers, or a bet, or whatever. And I don't like the analysis getting lost so much. That's my high horse of the day.
Are you going to be placing any bets this season?
I might.
Oh.
You know, we could...
Let me find out.
We have... One, I think it's easier to bet in DC now. So yeah, that does
everywhere
help things as opposed to some of the previous restrictions that have been lifted. Maybe we should do a Commanders betting segment later in the week.
On like a Friday?
Yeah, I we don't have a lot of room. Like the week's pretty filled out.
I know.
But we gotta have space somewhere.
Yeah.
For, you know, Terry over under, B-Rob, maybe Eckler or Ertz.
We gotta get our best
Jaden.
Yeah.
See if there's any funky ones. Maybe we'll pick one non-Commanders bet and we can just have a show pack that we're going to stick, I don't know, $5 on all of them.
Okay.
See what happens.
Hey, look,
see
I love
if we can make some money by the end of the year.
I hope so.
Do we parlay them all together and make it extra dumb or and just go ahead and forfeit all the money?
No.
Okay. That's the correct
answer. I have learned one thing when it comes to betting.
Do not.
Straight bets are king.
Yeah. Do not over parlay. And in fact, really, you should never parlay, but.
I used to do big parlays, big like 10 leg parlays. Never
yeah,
hit.
It's just, yeah, no kidding. No kidding. By the way, really, really quick, because now we're up against the clock. We were going through on Friday our weekend preview, and I just for whatever reason remembered that Ohio State was favored over Akron by 48.5. You know what the score was?
Wasn't it 52-0?
It's 52-6.
Oh, that hurts.
It's a 48-point spread. How do they do that?
I don't know how they do it. It was another Michigan. I think it was Michigan. Yeah. Was it Michigan? I think Michigan, whoever they played.
There was a bad beat situation.
Yeah, they missed it by like half a point or something like that.
It's insane.
I don't know how they do it.
They don't air condition the desert because they lose, folks.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop us from having fun with it. But remember, have fun responsibly. All right, when we get back here on the Team 980, 5:30 and 6:30, we are going to go through the Commanders offense, 5:30, defense, 6:30. Best case scenario for the season, worst case scenario for the season. It's next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.